Mankind has a long and curious history with fires. In biblical history, we know that fire was essential to the offerings. This was the case, by the way, long before Moses' law. For example, Abraham, he took fire into his hand through means of a torch as he went with a knife in his other hand to obey the command of God. And then we can think also in Genesis of the judgment which fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible reminds us it was brimstone and it was fire out of heaven. Also into the rest of human history. And every decade will tell us of times and occasions where fires have caused all manner of destruction in one way or another. Buildings and sometimes at times large portions of cities have been devastated as a result. Each year we hear of extensive bushfires blazing across the world. Sometimes, however, fires can serve a useful purpose. This is when they are intended and they are under control. For example, fire breaks are created in those countries where bushfires are common. It is strange to think that burning an area of land will act as a defence to the oncoming flames, but it does. And so also spiritually speaking, we can use the picture or the metaphor or the symbol of a fire to remind us of positive things. God uses the furnace or the fire of affliction to both purge and to purify his church. So some fires are needed, but many others are not needed. Now, as we turn to Proverbs chapter 26, we discover how Solomon in his Proverbs mentions a needless fire. Not only does he tell us what this fire is, but he tells us how to put this needless fire out. Proverbs 26 verse 20 reads, "Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth." And so in this proverb, Solomon, as we can see, has a particular type of person in mind, and with that, a particular and a very vexing feature to this individual. It is the slanderer and his or her slandering which he has in mind. Now, if you've got a margin in your Bible, you'll discover that most Bibles will read the word whisperer. And that's the idea that we have here, talebearer, a slanderer, a whisperer. And so the scene which is being described in a handful of verses here, verses 20 to 22 of Proverbs 26, is one of contention. This contention is likened to a fire. It was Matthew Henry, the Bible commentator, who remarked, and I quote, "It burns up all that is good and puts families and societies into a flame," end quote. He's referring to the contention which has been created by the talebearer, by the slandering, by the whispering, by the gossiping, and so on. Now, we would be naive to think that gossiping, talebearing, whispering, slandering, whatever word we use, is something relatively new. There is no new sin under the sun, we might say. Our 21st century, and with it the glut of social media at our fingertips, will often refer to new words, things such as miscommunication, fake news, and so on. The reality is that slander and false rumours, they have existed not just as a universal problem, but as an ancient one from the very beginning and will be with us right to the very end. If you think of the letter of James, James's words, and he deals with the speech that we have in our tongue and our words in quite a detailed manner. So James has much to say upon this in James chapter 3 verse 6 when he gives us the overview of the human tongue or speech. What does he do? Well, he brings us to the fire again, doesn't he? He likens the tongue, which is the smallest member, one of the smallest members that we have of our body, and he says it's like a fire. And he says the tongue is a fire, it's a world of iniquity. And a few verses later on, James reminds us how inconsistent we all can be. Now, this doesn't matter who we are. We can all be inconsistent in this manner, and we all are inconsistent in this matter. And James makes it clear, it's such a tragic thing he identifies out of the same mouth we can bless God, and then we can proceed to curse men. And James says we're cursing people who are made after the similitude or the image of God. And that, and really that idea of people being made in the image of God should hold us back in our words, in our speech, and our actions. And so he says a few words later on that these things should not be so. If we go back to our text in Proverbs, and we think about the contentious nature of the talebearer or the slander which is in view, we ask the question then, how then do we as professing Christians? I mean, it's one thing dealing with the world and the world around us and how people act and how they function, and people even who are not saved try to put restraints upon themselves. But we're concerned with those of us who are saved, those of us who know Christ. How do we, and how do I as a professing Christian, extinguish these needless and these very damaging fires? Well, first of all, remove the fuel. That's what the proverb is all about. Remove the fuel. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. It's common to think, by the way, that the first port of call when we're dealing with this problem of talebearing is for the mouth of the talebearer to be stopped. Yet God reminds us here that strife, while it is kindled through the words of others, is actually fueled by the ears of the rest. Now, I find that particularly challenging to my own heart. And I believe most of us would like to imagine, and I word that carefully, we like to imagine that we don't slander. And that's a different matter altogether. We like to think we don't gossip. However, it is far more likely that we are those that give ear to those that slander and gossip. And that, my dear friend, is equally as problematic. Where no wood is, the fire goeth out. In other words, all speeches need ears and all talebearers need someone to go to. It's not my intention to outline, by the way, the exact features of someone who gossips, because we would be here all day. But in general, it's someone who would misrepresent others or a situation, who would speak of secrets and sins of others or peoples, who exaggerates incidents. The list goes on. We all know what it is. And remember that as harmful as such words are, these words have nowhere to go if people just simply refuse to listen. And even if they hear it, not to acknowledge it, not to pass it on, to close it away, even to shun it. If someone begins a conversation or something is said to you, you just say, that's not for me. I don't want my ears to be hearing this. We would all do well to refuse to listen to such. And by doing that, this is what we do. We remove the wood and the fuel from the fire. And then also, we should then restrain the tongue. And we're dealing with the active speech here, the talebearer himself or herself, and even ourselves. And here are two verses, Proverbs 13, verse 3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. And the psalmist prayed in Psalm 141, verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. God's people, what are we, beloved, if we're saved? Let's not forget what we are in Christ. And let's not forget what we have by virtue of being sealed by the Spirit. We are indwelt by the Spirit of God. We're not to grieve him. And so we can call God our Father, and we can call to God our Father for restraint, for temperance, for control, for Christian love. This is important in all our forms of communication these days, not just simply in person or over the phone, but through all the digital means which are at our disposal. And then we can encourage another type of fire. You see, beloved, there is another fire that we desperately want, that we want to stoke, and we want to fuel, and we want to fan. It's the fire and the warmth of Christian fellowship. It is the desire as a collective body for the blessing of God upon us, the bond of Christian communion one with the other. This is not me suggesting, by the way, that there is no place for rebuke. Of course there is. Or correction, or discipline, or firm words. They do have a place. But they have a place that God appoints, not that we determine. They have a place that is directed in the Word of God. And there is a method, and there is a channel to go through when any such things need to be done. However, we do much more to advance the kingdom of God and strengthen the church when we use our words to edify one another, and then we use our ears to bear one another's burdens.